Talk live with Psychics Online now for one-on-one personal readings. Welcome to Stars Psychics, a community of gifted psychic readers offering live psychic readings through our private chat rooms. Want to know about your love life? What about your career and wealth? Hear from loved ones and more. Our network of channelers, tarot card readers, clairvoyants, spiritual advisors, and clairaudience can assist in answering your questions and guide you to a new level of spiritual career. Online psychic readings are a great way to find out answers you've always wanted to know from a psychic in the privacy and comfort of your home. Go to www.starspsychics.com. That's stars with a Z, psychics.com. Now click on the new one-on-one button and start talking to a psychic today.
Well, we're back on the radio. So happy I have Stars Maya Moon with me. Candy is in the room. And welcome, Stars Maya. It's nice to be back, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Hello, Natalie. And it is. It's great to be back. And we hope everyone, I'm sure, enjoyed their time off, their summer, and getting back to school if you do that. Or just in general, I know that I'm very glad to be back. I really look forward to it. And we have a summer cold. I'm in Arkansas, and we had a cold front, and so everyone here has a summer cold. So my voice is a little raspy this evening, and I do apologize in advance for that.
And so is mine. Mine is from talking too much. You know, I mean, Jackie, you know, Star JC, she said, okay, get the honey and get the lemon and just sip it throughout the show and you'll be fine. I'll be fine. It's okay. But, yeah, this is exciting. We have a great topic tonight to start off the set of all of our topics. And, by the way, this is Natalie, also known as StarsCast. This is a great experience because I was on the radio a week and a half ago on a real radio station, and they couldn't believe how much of a natural I was, and everybody listened to the show. But really, this was a stepping stone for me, Maya. You know, I really, you know, it's just like talking on the phone. That's all you do is talk on the phone. But anyways, you want to start with our topic, and then I've got some notes here, believe it or not.
Okay, sure. And I guess I didn't write the number down in front of me like I normally do, but just so everyone knows, again, this is Maya, also known Stars Maya, but we'll just refer to me as Maya. And although we don't do readings on the show, the chat room is available for that, but we love to have callers, to have our listeners call in, and if you have something you'd like to add or you just have a general question that isn't a personal reading but just a general question or comment about our topic, we would love to hear from you. So please feel free to call in. So what we're discussing tonight's topic is universal laws and what, you know, who came up with that. You know, what exactly are universal laws? Do they really apply universally to everyone? And how do we translate that into our life? How do they affect us individually or collectively? And I know most of us have at one time, if you're a spiritual person, you have probably heard the term universal law and what it, you know, what it might mean. So we're going to go into detail and offer some explanations. And again, welcome. And just to let everyone know that what I do is I'm going to share some information that I found that is just some general information. But as always, spiritual topics, there's never a right or wrong way of looking at a topic or subject. There's more than one way, so whatever resonates with you, simply because my guides teach me or I interpret something a specific way, and so naturally that's the way that I share it with listeners or clients or whatever. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's the only way or it's the right way or it's the best way. It just simply is my way, and I don't believe that when we say universal, We just mean that it applies, it's a blanket, more or less, that in some way, shape, or form influences or applies to everyone in every situation. So, you know, that even it, the even that in of itself, I think, can be a little subjective. But I really believe that universal laws are very important to the way that the universe moves and lives, and the way that our spiritual being lives and lives collectively with our connection to other people. So I don't know if you had something that you wanted to add, Miss Natalie.
Well, in my research, I mean, I knew some of them anyways, but it mentions like 12, but then it mentions 7. I think 7 is really the number for the universal laws. Is that correct?
Well, you're absolutely right. There are followers of 7, 12, and then there's actually some that follow 20. But I've always been taught, yeah, I know, that's a little bit much. And I feel that a lot of that is just a repetitive or a branching off from one of the 7. The way that I have been taught and what resonates with me and what I teach, that there are basically 7 universal laws, and that they apply to, and that what, you know, that they apply to all of us in all situations. And when we talk about, you know, who invented these, I don't know that we can really say so-and-so. What I can say is that these teachings, these ancient mystic, if you want to call them mystic, spiritual, or even esoteric, and some people look at it as a secret teaching, they date back from hieroglyphics and writings that we found 5,000 and range anywhere from Egypt to Africa to Greece to the northern territories, the U.S. So in that term, it's universal as well. There are findings, you know, there's proof that there was some type of law that was used, and it's you know, so you go ahead, what your understanding of it. You said that you looked some up about.
Yeah, I did. According to what I read, and I didn't even know this, but some of them are immutable, and some of them are mutable. And what it says is that the first 3 are immutable. They cannot change. They will never change. The other ones will alter. My favorite, let me look at this. My favorite is the law of cause and effect. That's my favorite. Because, you know, what you think is spiritual, mental, and physical. You have to do the spiritual first. Then it reaches the mental. And then oftentimes it can go to the physical, but there's always a lag. I read that there's always a time frame. You can't say, well, okay, now it's mental. I did it spiritually. I should have it tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. But do you know about these immutable and mutable things? All I know is it's the first 3, which is the law of mentalism. The second is the law of correspondence. And the third is the law of vibration. Those are immutable, and they can never be changed or transcended at all, according to the research that I did. So the other ones, I guess, because they're mutable, they're changeable in a way. But one site did 12, and then the other site did the 7. And I kind of remember way back that there were 7, but I don't know. It probably is. It's however you learned, whatever the teachings were that you learned, I don't know, but that just sticks out to me. Does that stick out to you, that it's really the 7? And who added all the rest of them? I mean, was it just like, oh, well, I'll add these because I feel like it, or, you know, I don't know.
I think it was just like we have added to, you know, a lot of principles that, you know, engineering principles and scientific and astronomy and astrology is a good, I think that's also a good analogy. What we knew maybe 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, we've added to that. So again, I feel like there, as far as actually being different or being able to separate one from the other, I've always resonated with the teachings that there's actually seven, and that the rest are just, to me, they're just branches. They actually can be traced back, and I think they were just added more for clarity and for a more modern way of relating to how spirituality has changed, because what was once considered a very closeted, just like, again, we could talk about so many different things that, let's say, let's go with 100 years. 100 years ago, there were so many things that were considered like pregnancy before marriage or homosexuality or bisexuality. Those things were considered closeted things, and spirituality was as well, too. You either went to church or you were considered almost a devil worshiper. There was really no in-between. So I think it's just a movement of the times. And I think a lot of, like, you know, a lot of these fads or these trends are just kind of cashing in on the newest approach. But if you really read carefully, if you read the fine print, you'll find that, in essence, they all go back to those seven. And I have read about the mutable and the immutable, and I have a little bit of disagreement with that. What I see that to be is that there are some that are simply non-movable or non-changeable, and then there's other ones that they remain in force, but they can be added to. So there can be some addition, and there can be some shifting, but I see universal law as being not really, we can't really eliminate it. The whole point of universal law is so that the universe can exist in perfect alignment and harmony, and we as the collective, meaning that part of us that is joined to all living to each other and to all living things and to whatever is recognized as the higher source, divine creator, is all, it also keeps that alignment going. And so then it trickles down into our individual and personal life. And so just like with all things, the truer we are to that pure vibration and spiritual form, the higher our path or potential, I believe, can be. And again, that's just my belief. So I do know what you mean by immutable and mutable. And so I agree to a point, but not to some of the elaboration that I read about it when I did read a little bit to see what all was out there. And some of it, I'm not sure. And some of it doesn't make a lot of sense either. I think that they take it a little bit too far. And I love what you said about cause and effect, because it might seem obvious, but it's surprising how many people become in conflict or chaos simply because they're ignoring or they're oblivious to the cause and effect. And there's always, where there's cause, there's effect, and where there's effect, there's a cause. So
that's right.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. And now, does some of this relate to, like, energy? I mean, is this, like, you know, like, some of this, I read some of this stuff about it because I learned a little bit a long time ago, but I'm certainly not the expert like you are, but it seemed like energy was a part of it. And at the end, this is interesting, it says here, the principles of the truth are seven. He who knows these understandingly possesses the magic key before whose touch all the doors of the temple fly open. So in other words, if you can master these and live by these, then you have the key. And a lot of it, I don't know if you're going to go through each one, but some of these were surprising. I didn't even know they existed, you know. That's how much I didn't know, but I certainly learned an awful lot. And the law of vibration is, I mean, there's a ton of them here, but the seven are so important. I didn't even print out the other ones because I just remember being seven, and that was, to me, that resonated with me, so that's what I did. But is there energy involved in this, like, with some of them, like if you apply your energy to something, and it, you know, it could be like plus or minus, but if you apply it right and correctly, that it will serve your purpose a lot better than if you don't do it right?
I believe that to be true. I believe that it begins and ends with energy, which is actually one of the laws, goes back to energy. And also the way that some of them are worded, we can word them a little bit differently, but they have the same meaning. And I wanted to just briefly say, while some people may be more familiar in their ability to teach universal law, for example, I don't feel that any human being has completely mastered universal law in the form of but following it absolutely without fail. If so, I believe that we would lose our humanity. There would be no longer a purpose of being human. So I believe that you said you have a lot to learn. I have a lot to learn. I believe that we're all learning and that it's trial and error and reminding ourselves of these laws, if you will, or usually it's reminding ourselves when we become chaotic or our life becomes, you know, disrupted or there's some type of a problem. That's when universal law comes into play. But as far as it being about energy, yes, I everything to me is based upon and returns to energy. So energy is extremely important, and this as well. I feel energy, yes, to answer your question.
And it's like, you know, like energy attracts like energy. Because some people will say, well, if you put this out, this is what you're going to get back. If you are negative and you give negativity to those around you or in whatever you're doing, it's almost like it's a boomerang. It's going to bounce back to you because that's what you're going to receive. That's an immutable one. That can be, well, according to them, I don't even know. I just looked it up. But, you know, it says here that nothing rests. Everything moves. Everything vibrates. I like that. I like all these, as a matter of fact, but I think my favorite one is the law of cause and effect, because it seems like if we really work at it, and maybe I've done that and I just don't know it, with anything that I've done, you know, it doesn't have to be a relationship, it could be business, whatever, I really think that you create it in your head, you've got it there, okay, it's looking good, everything is fine, and then you need to go to the next level. So that was the mental. Then you do, I mean, the spiritual is first, so you get this vision of how you want something to be. Then you have the mental where it's, okay, this is how I want it to look, okay? Then it can become a reality or the physical. I think maybe most people apply that and they really don't know it. What do you think?
Yes,
or they don't apply it
that.
And they should.
Right, right, and they don't. And so an intention is although it's value, and I just want to say that the way that it can be worded about, I believe you're referring to the law of vibration as far as nothing rests.
Nothing rests, right.
That to me is the same as when we talk about energy cannot be created or destroyed. It can only be shifted or moved, and it's from one thing into another. So I believe that those are one and the same. It's just a different way of terming or describing it. But yes, the intentions, they're a very important part of our journey and moving along and attracting or ascending, if you will, enlightening. But an intention has to be at some point, it has to be followed by action or it dissipates, dissolves, goes away, or becomes useless, which is where I often say the why doesn't matter, the what matters. So you can have someone, and I've used a variety of analogies, whether I'm writing or talking on the radio or doing a session, many analogies that I feel explain this or, you know, symbolize this, but an intention without any action, it doesn't really matter how well-intended someone might be. So I use a drug addict a lot, and I have a lot of sympathy for them, so I'm not using them in a derogatory fashion whatsoever. But an addict can intend year after year, month after month, day after day, their intention is to be clean and sober or to rid themselves of, maybe it's smoking cigarettes, whatever the addiction is. But until the day that they put that into action, it's still not making, it's not coming into the world where it's making a change and there's going to be a cause and effect. So intention is an energy and it's a vibration and it's an important step, but it is just a step. And so if that makes sense, if I'm not confusing, it has to be, at some point, it has to be more than. Although our intentions can be powerful, if we look at those as manifestations, they can have power and energy in themselves. There still has to be some type of action. So if you're manifesting a job, you can't just sit home and say, well, I'll just think about it all day and I'll get one. No, you probably won't.
Good luck with that.
Good luck. Well, and unfortunately, I mean, our human is our lower vibration, if you will, and it's our ego, which ego is just the external, the conscious self. It's not, when we talk about spirituality and ego, we're not using it in the context of ego, meaning pride, in that way. But you would be surprised how many humans are in denial or ignorance of that fact and actually in some way believe that they just have to think about it real hard. And that's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen in love or career, relationships, whatever the case may be. There has to be manifestation is a strong intention that we are thinking about and we are imagining. And there's a little trail that we follow. But there's still that trail. It's just like any trail. You know, you can read all your, you can read your maps and you can pick out your place and you can decide and you can pack your lunch and get your water. But if you're 5 hours into the day, you're still looking at the sign and at, you know, 5 mile hike or 2 mile hike. I mean, you haven't really accomplished very much. You have to start that walking. So that's one thing that I feel is important, is that we remember, and that's the one thing I do feel that humans get, where they get blocked, is where they don't take it into action. So what else, what did you think of the, were you able to read the law of polarity?
No, but I can tell you that it says everything is dual, everything has poles. Everything has its pair of opposites.
Right, because that goes with what,
yes.
I felt that was very much with what you were speaking about, meaning like attracts like. So
yes,
which
yes.
is why I brought it up, which yes, it that's true. I agree with you that there is always the polar opposite. And that's, again, we often can be thinking one thing, but actually our energy is not in harmony with that which we really want. Our energy is the opposite. And so when you talk about attracting, people will say, well, why am I always attracting this person, or why am I always attracting this situation? And I don't believe, and my guides don't teach, although I do believe luck to a point can exist, and I did make a point of saying I believe that there can be coincidence in the world. I don't believe that that's the flow of the universe in general. I believe that there's synchronicity and that there's cause and effect. And so the same would be true then with what we attract. There's something going on, which is why we're attracting something that seems to be the opposite of what we're seeking. So something is attracting that which appears to be the opposite. So go ahead with whatever your comments
Actually, that the next one was the law of polarity. And then we have rising above the law of polarity. Now, that's just adjacent to the original about the law. It's just a little extra. But it says here, but by always focusing on the good, even when things appear to be going bad, then in time you will rise above the law of polarity. Because it kind of makes sense. It's all about your thinking, isn't it? So much about your thinking processes. We don't even realize how we control what goes on in our lives. I really don't know a lot about these, but I printed them all up because at least I would have some documentation and be able to sound like I know something. but
no,
some
you're very knowledgeable, and you probably know a lot more even than you're aware of. It's just that I think spiritually, I know that I do this, and I think in different terms. I don't necessarily phrase them according to the way the rules are actually, you know, signed, sealed, and delivered. I don't necessarily adhere to the same terminology, but the basic meaning is the same. And I do agree with that, but I don't see that so much as being, I understand what they're saying about it being mutable or immutable, but yes,
yeah.
That to me that goes back to being able to embrace the potential that tomorrow or the future has, so that we're not being a mirror for the past or the present. And so once we rise above that hold that the past has on us, and we're able to say, well, tomorrow I have faith or I have hope, and tomorrow can be created by myself, or, you know, I can create tomorrow, and I can be thankful for that which is about to be created. That's how I see that law. So by being that way and by taking on, and you mentioned in the very beginning about energy, I feel that's an energy. Some people might say it's a mood or a frame of mind, but I feel that it's a strong energy. And once we decide to embrace that energy, we are rising above the polarity of what has been a part of our path to that point. So we are rising above that. And then that goes back in. And they're all, I feel, they're all interrelated and connected in some way. So that takes us back to like attracts like. And when we're in that higher vibration and we're transcending, then we're going to attract into our lives those others or those circumstances, whether that's a job or housing or a person, a relationship, it's going to be attracting those that are in the same energy that we are, that higher transcended energy. Whereas if we're in that lower energy where we're in the repetitive form of, you know, well, we've had a difficult past or present or things seem challenging, and so we're letting that energy be the one that's being emitted.
That's exactly
then we
right.
Are going to, you know, we're going to attract that into our life. And then if you think about it, what's that? That's a chaotic and that's not a balanced or harmonious energy. And so if you're attracting that person or that situation, work situation into your life, then you are repeating it. But it's you're doing so by your energy, you're manifesting, and your intention, the cause and effect, and all the other seven rules or laws, universal laws. So if that makes sense, I don't know if I'm making sense, but it's
no,
either
it makes
all.
Sense, but yeah, like an example would be yesterday I had a terrible day. Okay, but I got through it and I thought, okay, tomorrow's a new day. This morning I woke up and it was like all of that was gone. And so a challenge came to me later in the day, but I handled it with ease because I think I had that right attitude in the morning. I didn't wake up like maybe I had felt yesterday. I felt really good today. I was able to handle what came my way with ease and not even get upset about it. So
okay.
No,
go ahead. Go ahead.
I said that must mean something to, and I apologize for my voice getting a little raspy like yours. We're just two raspies here. I don't know. But I think that that has something to do with it. Your mind really does an awful lot. I mean, it creates a lot. And everybody I talked to today was in a great mood, and if I asked something to be done, it got done right away. There were no obstacles because I started the day feeling really good. I don't know why, but I did. Maybe I feel that a lot's done to me while I sleep. My doctor always says to me, she says, I think you think when you sleep. Well, I probably do, you know, but the ending of the day today is I'm on a high note. Doesn't matter what happened before. I feel really good and solid. So so that's part of energy, isn't it, Maya?
Well, I would say that it is. And what I would, or what I should say when I say me, I mean via my guides, because they are my mentors and teachers. It's not something that I just suddenly woke up with. It's something that I've been, you know, they've been working with me and training me and preparing me just like you would for any specialty. And I would say that two things about that, that's finding your state of grace, which means that you're accepting what is, and the ability to change overrides what has been, and also that you did not allow your experiences, which were, if you want to call them negative, that might be a little harsh, but you were allowing those challenging experiences to define and define the future for you. You put
but, you know, now that I think about it, it had to do with my husband that passed, but so I was cleaning the closet. But then later in the evening, my granddaughter came over with her mom. And, of course, my grand, and I think she was, I think she set me in motion for my sleep. Her and I went into her room, quote, unquote. She's the one that's 11 going on 25. Anyway, she took me in there, you know, and we started working in her room, and she was going through her old toys. And I just sat there, and I realized with her that she, I think it changed me right away from what I was. That it brought me back to when she was a baby, because she was playing with these blocks, putting them, stacking them, and I saw her, a look on her face, and I said, you really remember, don't you? She said, yeah, I do, and I remember you used to pull me in this little tiny wagon when I was probably about, I don't know, a year, she said, because I could. Now she can't, you can't with her. But her expression, something she did, pulled me away from feeling so low. So I was fortunate. I pulled in something, or it was brought to me that could shake me, and that set me up for today. That's what I think it really was. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think it was her. We just had the best of time. So,
and see, you could perhaps, just for the sake of, you know, not delving too deeply, but you could say that that's possibly related to cause and effect. That
yes,
you,
exactly. I think so. Mm-hmm.
You know, that the effect of, And also the ability to see rebirth and regrowth where you had seen death and the passing and the ending of something, you saw that it can be replaced. Not, I don't mean replaced in your heart, but I just mean that the general potential that where that, and that goes back to the polarity where there, you know, something has been, something will be, and where something will be, something has been. So it goes back to, so in a way, when we stop to really think about it, it's really rather profound, and you know, it's really kind of neat, I think, that so many things, even small things, large things, little things, and things that we wouldn't really stop to, I mean, you're lucky that you stopped and you made it a point to get in touch with what was going on with you. But so many things can be pulled back into a form of universal law, and how that, a part of that is, you know, an influence in our life. And that, you know, and if we remember that that stems from, they say universe because it's universally, meaning it's everywhere, and collective because it's the part of us that is conjoined or adjoined or a piece of everything that is living and all that has been, you know, and all that has been created by some creator. We know that the earth and people, you know, we may differ on who or how we see that was invented, but we know that, you know, something had to create the earth and the solar system and humans and grass and dolphins and elephants and everything else. So it's fascinating, I think is a better word to say, that so many things in our life can be, if we stop, can be traced to something that's found in universal law. And sometimes doing so can really improve our outlook, our energy, and our experience, and, you know, can fortify us to continue our journey with the highest possible energy possible. So that's
right.
Great that you were able to identify
well,
that.
Well, you know, and
yourself.
I realized, but I caught myself yesterday, you know, I would work a little bit, and then as soon as I felt I would get this feeling, I walked out of it. It's like a walk-in closet. It's not huge, but it's, you know, I walked out of it, and I came to the computer and got to answering some questions some readers had on Facebook, and pretty, I was pulled out of that, or I did it. And I really think sometimes things happen, and you don't even know what's going on. It doesn't matter. It happened. It happened for you. And I still have to finish it, but I'm in a little better state, and I'm more prepared, I think. But that's the biggest thing for me. But it was my granddaughter that really showed me something. Or, you know, I like to believe in the divine, that it's really stepped in and, okay, we got to shake her up here. This is not right. She can't be like this all day, all night, tomorrow, to face tomorrow. And I just, it was funny. Last night, one of the readers asked me something, and I said, well, tomorrow's a new day. And she said, yes, that's the way you should look at it. Tomorrow is a new day. The sun will come up. The sky will be blue or gray or whatever, but the sky is going to be there. Everything's still going to be there. And you have to face it, change it, and face it so that mine was, so I could tackle this big challenge that came to me this afternoon. I'm sure of it. I was prepared. It didn't bother me. I went through all the steps. Okay, we can do this. I didn't get upset about it. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
I think if you start to feel yourself sliding and things are getting too negative, you have to draw upon something. And mine is my granddaughter or my son, but especially for her because she's so innocent. She's learning. She's learning just like from me. She knows. She's really, really smart about it. But I think you need to find something that's going to yank you out of that so that you can deal with what's coming your way, because it'll end up being just really negative for you. It's just going to pile on you if you don't. But I am lucky. I have, I want to say, influences that I can't see that do it for me, because I have the sight to take care of and I have a lot to do. And I think that it's a necessity. I like to feel, and this might sound silly, but I like to feel that God or whoever you believe in has this chessboard with all these chess pieces. You are one of them. And, okay, well, Natalie's over here. Okay, well, she's sitting over here. But we really want to see her get over to here. Now, how are we going to do this? Well, they give you steps. They give you challenges. They give, you know, you're given all of these things, and I'm probably talking off the subject, but that's just coming from me, and I don't know why I felt the need to say it, that I really feel that that's what my life has been about. So I'm not going to fall prey to this negative stuff. I'm just not going to do it. I don't. And then now I know to draw upon Jada, my little granddaughter. You know, I could call her on the phone and she just perks me right up. That's it. Okay. And the bottom line is, what I do is you have to say to yourself, it could always be worse, yes, but you have good health. Your family has good health. You're functioning. You have a beautiful sight, all these beautiful people that work on. See, that's what I draw upon. But, you know, it's funny because sometimes when you like for me, because there's a lot of people that I deal with, I'll be a little either upset or not really down, but upset. And then all of a sudden I get all the advisors or even people that know me will start saying really sweet things to me. Or, you know, my goddaughter, she'll send me a beautiful text. You know, and then you start to realize, and I don't know what law that is, but it certainly happens for me. More so, but I recognize it. I think you have to recognize things before you can do anything about it. And I think I'm getting better at it. You've known me a long time. I think I am getting better at it, don't you?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yes.
So
yes, and I say that little bit of cause and effect, and that's also when you talked about what we attract, and so what we send out is attracted back to us. And because you send out a positive energy in everything that you do, your intention is always honorable and pure.
Oh yeah.
And upright.
Oh, yeah.
And to try to help others, then it's an automatic. And that's why it's always important to remember, you know, you said God. I often use God because that's my personal belief. But whatever you, for all the listeners, whatever they see as their divine or creator or the source of everything, that's why there is this connection, is so that it's like a rope that reaches out to everyone that would be in the water without a flotation device. So it's that rope that pulls us back out of the water. So all the time that you have thrown that rope out, when you need it, it's automatically divine or God or however you want to see happening. You know, you're being pulled up, and sometimes that really is all it takes, is just a few people letting us know that we've made a difference in their life or we're important.
You know, Maya, I hear it every day. I hear it. People from all over the world that work on the site. And then I feel, oh, I'm making a difference. This is just really good. But that's my work. You know, you have to talk about people going to my work is kind of, most times it's fun. I mean, it's not really a job, but people that go to work and things like that, I think if they go into work feeling lousy for whatever happened to them at home or whatever they were thinking about, they can't pay their bills or whatever, and they go to work, and somebody's watching them, how they carry themselves, because you usually walk different when you're feeling lousy. You're not perky. You're not smiling. If you're fortunate enough to have somebody come up and say, gee, you really look nice today, or have a nice day, it can set things for you, I believe, to make you feel really better. It won't happen immediately, but you still will hear it, and that's the important thing, too. It's just all about what's around you. I mean, you have to get in touch with what's around you. And I'm forever solving problems for somebody that, hey, Natalie, how do we do that? How do I do this? I gotta send this. Well, how do I do it? Sure, I'll help you if I can. But you know me, I do that all the time. But I think if people, and I shouldn't say this, if they would try to treat their life more like I do, then they would feel really, really, they would be a golden color. They would just shine. Everything around them would be just highlighted. And that's lately, since probably the last few months or so, I've really been doing well at it. And it affects everything that you touch, everybody that you talk to, whether you know it or not. And, of course, like with me, I have like you. I can call you. Hey, Maya, I'm having a crummy day. Or I have people that surround me that I can lean upon. And so I'm very, very blessed. I said that on the radio show, and somebody wrote to me and said, no, we're the ones that are blessed, Natalie. But really, we're all blessed, really. And I'm very, very grateful that I'm in the position that I'm in right now, and I have wonderful people like you and Candy and all that. But anyways, we need to get back to the laws, or we'll just be talking about me, which we could talk all day about, right? What is this law of gender? It says gender is in everything. Oh, male and female, is that what they're talking about? They're male and female, right?
Right, right. Right, that there's...
It, Did I lose you?
No, I thought you were going to say something.
You're gathering. Well, okay, well, it says that this mutable universal law is evident throughout creation in the so-called opposite sexes found not only in human beings, but, of course, in plants and minerals and everything. And everything is masculine and feminine. They all have the elements. But this is interesting what it says. It says, know that within every woman lie all the latent qualities of a man, and within every man, those of a woman. When you know this, you will know what it means to be complete. Well, that's a real profundity, isn't it?
Yes.
That's
yes.
In the law of gender. And maybe that means, like, when you can look at somebody that is the opposite of you, and you realize, yes, they're not like me, and it doesn't matter what you're talking about, maybe then you'll understand what, like it says, what completeness really is, because you can understand both sides. My husband used to always say something to me when somebody would say something about, oh, gosh, look at that person, you know, and he would look at me and he'd say, that's somebody's mother, somebody's daughter, or somebody's son or father. He would always say that to me, that, you know, like a son that maybe would go astray, he would say, that's somebody's son. Meaning he had an understanding, I don't think he knew it, but he had an understanding that it could apply to him as well. But I always remember that. It's somebody's son, somebody's daughter, somebody's mother, somebody's father. Whoever you're looking at. And really, that when you understand male and female and all of that, I guess you could consider yourself to be more complete. That makes sense because of your understanding.
Yeah.
But you know, the laws, it's hard to follow the laws every single day, isn't it? I mean, or do some people really do that?
Well,
that's a good question.
I think
for you.
I believe that that's the goal, and that's part of the it's interesting to say that one of our universal lessons is to understand universal law. So, yes, it is a challenge, and I would say the majority of humans do not follow the law, at least not all of them. They may follow a couple of them regularly or, you know, passionately or productively, but most of us do not follow these laws to the letter and in a conscious way, and that's how we end up in situations that, I mean, some situations are just circumstantial, and so we have to adjust the way that we define that and the way that we see that, which is part of universal law, but
right.
That's part of the lesson, and part of why we get so blocked or we get so disrupted in our life is because we are so far from the true understanding and the following of universal law. If we all understood each of these and understood how they each were separate, but yet a whole. We needed each part to make that whole, and we followed that again consciously and productively, and with full intention and manifestation, which would lead us to action every day in every way in every situation. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't know that we would any longer need to be a human because we would be so perfected to the point of being a spiritual being. So
yeah.
I think we should attempt to put that into play throughout our lives, but I think most of us lose sight of that, which, I mean, that's easy to see when challenge, especially, you know, something that's significant or very difficult. For most of us as humans, we are so preoccupied with the why instead of acceptance that's where we lose out on the gift and the blessing of universal law and what it can teach us about ourselves, about the world, and about the universe spiritually. and really understanding that it, I think there's even, I'm not sure what they really call that law, the specific term, but I know there's a law that does state that we have, just like we have to understand that balance is that part of us that is feminine and masculine, which lies within all of us, even though some traits may be more, you know, more stronger. I mean, your average male is going to show more male energy than female, but when a person comes to the point where they accept both those energies, then they're in total harmony. And so, I mean, so it just kind of all just goes hand in hand. I forgot what I was going to say about the other law about, that's okay, I lost it. I'll find it again, but there's one in there that I was going to say, mentioned. Oh, the what I call the trine or the trinity, which mentions that there's some equality and there's always a correlation and a relationship between the physical, the mental, and the spiritual. And one is always going to be affected by the other and the other always affected by one. So everything goes hand in hand. So it's like when we talk about sickness, it doesn't mean the sickness or the illness isn't real. That's not what we're saying at all. We're just saying that there's always going to be a spiritual and emotional component, which makes sense. If you break your leg, for example, not only are you dealing with the physical difficulties of the pain and perhaps being in a cast and not being able to get around, not being able to drive, but there's also an emotional experience attached to however you broke your leg to begin with, whether it was a fall or an accident, whatever. And then there's the spiritual part. There's always a lesson or something that the potential for a lesson to be learned. So that's another thing, is when we accept that all three are interconnected and we can't have an influence on one without it having an influence on the other. So we can't have a physical experience without there being some part of us being affected emotionally and spiritually, and we can't have a spiritual experience without feeling an effect of it emotionally and physically, even though the levels or the degrees of each of those may vary. So we may have a strongly spiritual experience that is only mildly physical, or a mildly physical experience that's strongly spiritual. There's still always going to be an effect in all three of those areas, because that's what we are made of, if you will. We are composed of spirit, mind, and body.
That makes sense.
No, it does. Yeah.
It really, really does. And it says if you, like I already said it, if you master the seven, or you'll have the magic key, and the big door will open for you.
And you will.
So
and
everybody's really and supposed to adhere. Everybody's supposed to adhere to these principles, these laws. I mean, they're very uplifting to me. I don't find, of course, I usually don't find anything negative in any of this. And I feel badly that I wasn't trained better. It would be great at teaching, Maya, because you explain everything in such a way that everybody can understand. But I think, and all you have to do is go on the internet, and you can learn anything you want to know. I mean, anything is there. I just typed in universal laws, and I got a lot of places to go to because I thought, well, I want to have some knowledge. But you really have to take the time to understand them and follow them. And somebody once in a while, this friend of mine told me a long time ago, when you lose your voice, it's because you were supposed to tell somebody something, but you were afraid to. She always told me that. She said, it's kind of, you lost your voice. You see, you had your chance, but you lost your voice now. and you can't tell that person what they did wrong or whatever you want to say to them. And she would say that to me, and I said, oh, God, you mean every time I lose my voice, I want to tell somebody off? She would laugh. She says, no. But she said, there's a reason that you lost your voice. And she did not fall into it was a physical thing. She felt it was more spiritual. That's why she said that to me. She was very spiritual, you know. And she's the one that actually taught me an awful lot about astrology besides learning on my own. But I think everybody should really try to follow the laws as best as they can, and they'll probably see a difference in their lives. That's what I think.
Yes.
And I
yes.
think I do many of these, and I don't even know it, but I'm, like I said, I'm very blessed. I have a lot of good teachers around me. You are one of them. And I don't know. I wish everybody could be more like us. The world would be a much better place because we don't pass judgments. We take care of, we help, we extend ourselves. I think that's really important. And I do that almost every single day with somebody. And I don't mind it at all. I mean, it's great. Makes me feel really good inside. It makes my heart and my soul feel good. And that's how I feel about it. Really, really do. You know, it's 8:56 already. We only have 3 more minutes left. Gosh, that went by fast.
I know. Time flies.
Get us talking and we don't shut up. But that's not a bad thing because, you know an awful lot and I can add my little stuff to it that I know from experience. And really, it's putting out an awful lot of good stuff for people to listen to. And we're going to do this again next week. And you want to do your closing?
Yeah.
There was a recording of all the shows on Blog Talk Radio /StarsCast. You can find it all there. If you need any help, you can always ask Candy. She's on Facebook. Candy takes things, and I tell her to work her magic. Go work your magic, Candy. She's probably laughing because that's what I tell her. And she does. I mean, my phone goes off and off, and my granddaughter says, what is that? I said, oh, that's just Candy. She's posting something someplace. But and try to smile every day and be happy and find something. And if you're unhappy, you have to surround yourself with good people that can lift you up. And I have, like, my next-door neighbor, and I do that. And I'm sure you have people, too. But, Christy, I mean, Maya, I don't really ever find you being down. Are you ever down? I mean, are you ever – you wake up in a bad mood?
Oh,
I've never heard
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't be human if I
That's
was
true.
Just – I mean, if I was constantly, but what I've learned is, I mean, first of all, I rely on my faith quite a bit, and that's just my personal way of dealing with things. But I'm also a big believer, and I do follow universal law. That doesn't mean that I don't forget, but what I was going to suggest and what has helped me in my personal life and certainly helped me in my profession is to, for all the listeners, to read down and write some of these seven, which we both agree are the most important. Write down the 7 ones, and then when you find yourself, the best way to understand universal law is wait until you're challenged with something, and then read each of the laws and understand them, and do your very best to follow, and you will find that a transformation and you will comes about and you will transcend yourself, and after enough practices you will start to automatically put yourself into that energy. And so I would say that that's what I've been able to do, that I do have bad days and I do have days where I feel challenged. And I'm just able to rise above that and see that I don't allow myself to be defined by other people or by experiences. I allow myself only to be defined by that which is yet to be. And I never forget that we are constantly, just like it talks about energy, it doesn't say it's energy, but to me it's energy, that things are constantly in motion. And so the good thing about that is anything that's negative is temporary. Now, some people say, well, then that means the good is positive. Well, not really, because it's a matter of how we think of it and how we intend and manifest. So we can continually, and it takes a lot less energy, believe it or not, to manifest and to recognize positivity than negativity. Keeping something that's dysfunctional or negative alive and moving along takes 10 times the work as positive. So that's what I do. I just remind myself of a new day or a new way, or that there's always going to be a shift and a change, and to accept rather than try to find out and question why. I think that's a very important part of why we're here, is not to question everything, because answers don't always give us the satisfaction or the state of grace or the energy that we presume it will, but acceptance often does. So we accept and we move forward. And
right.
And I feel that that is something that no matter what your situation is, obviously there's people out there that are going through horrific experiences or have had horrific experiences that I can't say that I understand, because I have not walked in their shoes, nor have you. But the rules still do apply, and they can still make a difference in their lives, and they can still, we're all I've said this many, many times, although our past may not be equal, our futures are equal in the potential that is offered to us all. So with that, I'll close out the show and just say, no matter where you've been, what you've done, where you come from, what's occurred to you in your life, that can be left behind in the past. It's up to you to do that and release it. And we are all equally, it's like standing in line to get the, are standing in a crowd when the, you know, bride takes off her garter and throws it, or the groomsman takes off his, whatever it is he takes off to throw. I mean, we're all equal in what we have to receive, and it's really what we're going to create, and it all comes down to our energy and where we cycle that energy and where we focus and concentrate it, whether it's going to be on something positive or not. So I think there is so much to be gained by understanding and living by the universal laws and attempting to have our lives not ruled by them, but overseen by that. So with that, I want to thank everyone for listening. It's been great to be back. The hour's flown by, and I definitely look forward to next week and a new topic.
Yes, absolutely. So with that, you know, I'm going to wish everybody a good night. This is Natalie, also known as Stars Cast and Stars Maya Moon. You can always get a reading for her on the site. I mean, all the advisors are there. They're all wonderful. But, okay, we're going to call it here, and we'll see everybody next week. And have a good evening, and bye-bye. I love you.
Bye. Love you, too. Love everyone. Bye.